Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, on today's episode, I slipped up. I forgot to mention, I was so excited talking with our guest today about the fantastic movie, The VelociPastor. I forgot to mention where you can follow this great movie on social media and where you can rent it on video on demand right now or purchase it. So I'm going to tell you this right now, and we're going to repeat this at the end of the podcast as well. So if you don't have a pencil or something, just continue to listen. And at the end, you know, at some point, I don't know, grab a pencil, a burnt piece of wood, you know, whatever you got to, your girlfriend's lipstick, whatever you got to do, man. But you can write this down and know exactly where to watch this. Now, again, I love this film, and we're going to talk to the writer-director and the principal actress in this movie, Brendan Steer and Alyssa Kempinski, today. And where you can get this movie it's out all over on video on demand, iTunes, Comcast, Spectrum, Dish, Vudu, Amazon, Fandango, Sling. It's also, you can see it, I was just looking here, it's, like I said, it's on Amazon Prime, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, all these, you can watch it, no worries, and rent it there. Very, very cool. Now, you can also follow the VelociPastor. We have a link up on our show page to their Facebook page. It's very simple to get there, facebook.com/TheVelociPastor. TheVelociPastor. And they're also over on Twitter, which is the VelociPastor. You know, just put that into the search at Twitter or the at symbol and one word, the VelociPastor, and it'll get you right there to the page. Very, very cool. Okay, enjoy the episode today. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on this one. It's a fun movie, man. I really like this, and Brendan and Alyssa were just awesome. So here it is. Enjoy. And again, this will repeat at the close of the podcast today. So stay tuned. Enjoy. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. Hey, before we get started, I want to thank everybody for all of the Facebook messages and emails and whatnot. The hurricane isn't here yet, but it's very nice knowing that so many of you, you know, are concerned about me and Danny and my wrinkly dog, Mei Ling. Yeah, we're fine. We'll be okay. I guarantee we might have to reschedule a show or two. Let's hope not. But we will be just fine, and I really appreciate all of the well wishes and whatnot. It's very nice. Now, today I'm very, very super excited, turned up to 10, because we've got the writer and director of one of the best movies of 2019 that I've come across, and one of the main actresses in this film as well. This is spectacular, ladies and gentlemen, this film. It's called The VelociPastor, and I would like to welcome Mr. Brendan Steer and Alyssa Kempinski. Hopefully I said that right, Alyssa.
Alyssa Kempinski, but thank you.
Kempinski. Got it. I will never forget that now.
Perfect.
That's amazing.
Hey, guys. Nice to be here.
Well, this is fantastic. Now, Brendan, I have to ask, you're the writer-director of this film, and I'm not saying that in a snarky way. I love this type of grindhouse. And if I say anything that's offensive to you as an artist or a filmmaker, I apologize in advance. This is a brilliant film. This is so much fun.
Thank you.
The VelociPastor.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How did?
And no,
did you just?
It's very.
Did you wake up
most,
one day?
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's very hard to most things I take as compliments with this film. That's one of the wonderful things about it.
That's
it's
awesome.
Very hard
as
to insult my sensibilities.
As you should. I don't know if John Waters has seen this film yet. I imagine he would love it. You know,
Get it to Waters.
Absolutely. I might know a guy. I will email a trailer when this show is done. I didn't even think about that till just now. You never know.
That would be so awesome. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Oh no, it was fine. We were just so excited about this film. How did you come up with this idea? Did you wake up one day? Did you come out of a hangover? What was the creative impetus for the Velocipastor to come? Is this the idea?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think it's very important to know I was completely sober. what happened was I was texting one of my friends about dinosaurs and about, you know, as one does.
As people do.
And,
right.
Yeah, yeah. And my phone auto-corrected Velociraptor to Velocipastor. And
nice.
I was in film school at the time. Grindhouse had just come out. I was watching a lot of Trailers from Hell. And I was just being bombarded with all these sort of B-movie grindhousey titles. And as soon as my phone did that, I was like, that's a movie. So I Googled it to make sure it didn't exist, and sure enough, I was the first human in existence to come up with this idea. Thank you, phone. And I made a fake trailer of it. Trailer did pretty well, and eventually we adapted it into a feature.
That's fantastic. Now, I'm not in the film business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people for a living. But is that usually what you do as a teaser reel type thing? Is that how, like when you're sitting down with investors, producers and whatnot to make the pitch, like a pitch reel?
It is a way to do it. So it's funny when what that is called is a proof of concept, where you either you either take like a short scene from the film or you shoot a fake trailer and you use it to kind of give a demo of what the movie would be. It's funny, the trailer sort of became that. I didn't intend for it to go beyond the trailer. I was just making it as a short film because I was still in high school and I just thought it was a fun idea. But it sort of became a proof of concept accidentally because it blew up online in a way that, like, at the time, nothing else I had ever done had. So it was like when all the other videos on my channel had like, you know, 15 to 30 views, all of a sudden this fake trailer that I made as a lark shot up to like 30 or 40,000 views. So it was
something.
Yeah, exactly. It told me there was an audience at least. And so then I just kept thinking about it. And eventually I decided that, yeah, I will make this dinosaur movie. So yeah, that was the path to it.
It's fantastic, and I don't know if it's the concept is so crazy and so awesome, but also the timing. I think too, you know, people are. I was talking to a comedian friend of mine the other day, and we were just kind of BSing, and he does a lot of open mic nights. He loves to go watch open mic nights, I should say. Because there's a lot of crazy people that go to them. And he says they're packed. He goes, usually there'd be like, you know, 20 people in there. Now they're sold out. And we were talking about this, and I said, maybe I think it's just people want to get the hell away from the news and whatnot. You know, they want some escape, some fantasy.
No, I completely
maybe
agree.
Maybe that's with this film at the right time. You know, it's fantastic. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. I think it's a couple of things working for us. One is that we're basically, this was not planned, but right now we're basically the only game in town in terms of like so bad it's good. Like we're not really competing with something like Sharknado just ended. There hasn't been a real crazy cult sensation like The Room in a hot minute. And like I think that we just kind of I mean, don't get me wrong. We put a hell of a lot of hard work into this movie, but I think in terms of the timing, we just kind of got lucky because you can't predict that. You know, for all right. I knew, there were five other people making Dinosaur Priest movies as we were. So I think that, we the timing was really good.
That's fantastic.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
And I have to ask, Alyssa, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm so excited about this film. How did you get involved with this, Alyssa? Through a casting company, or did you know Brendan?
Brendan, I don't believe you used casting for this film. And
no.
If I don't, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but Brendan wrote Carol for me. Because we had worked together on a previous feature and we were involved in, like, pardon the New York City soundscape. We were involved in the same kind of hungry college age filmmaking community. So it was kind of just asking friends around and pulling favors because no one had any money, but everyone wanted to make something. And VelociPasta was, like, the first, like, big, legit movie we were doing, you know, for us.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And that's something I hope neither of you lose, even when you do get to those upper levels of filmmaking and your craft. Because I think, it's just so much fun. You know, there's certain films that I see young actors in that are in that same situation, you know, much more established actors today, but you look at some of their early stuff and you're like, they're having fun with it. You know what I mean? And it's just cool to see.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
One of the weirdest ones for that for me is always Willem Dafoe. Like Willem Dafoe comes from like experimental theater. And if you like look at his early stuff, it's very strange to think that this guy is going to eventually be in Spider-Man. And it's just so, it is so fun. And it's like, I am 100% sure that I will keep working with Alyssa in the future and with all my other friends on different projects.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Now, I have to ask, you have this reel made, this faux trailer, and now you're pitching this. You're going around. You're meeting with producers. You're you know, trying to get as much funding for this as I imagine that you are. You know, did everybody get it right away, or was there like, are you kidding me? Or I mean, what was that adventure like?
Yeah,
I love this story.
So, nobody got it. So it's funny. It's basically what ended up happening is we tried crowdfunding it a couple of times because, like, you know, as Alyssa said, we were just kind of college kids, or at least that when the trailer came out, we were. And so we didn't know anybody with money, really. So the obvious solution is to go to Kickstarter or Indiegogo and try and crowdfund it. We did that a couple of times and it never worked. So I was starting to get but I really believed in this movie. But, like, you know, it was kind of discouraging. So eventually a friend's mom knew I was, like, trying to make this film. And she reached out to me and was kind of like, hey, I might know somebody. How much money do you think you would need? And being a filmmaker, like, you know, you hear this a lot. So you don't give it a lot of credence. There's always somebody's mom knows, like, somebody, and it never comes to anything. So I tossed out the figure. I tossed out $35,000 just thinking, you know, that why not?
Really?
And 2 days later, she called me back and told me that it was fully funded and the money was in my account. I've never met the investor. Never met her.
You
I hope
better
she's doing well.
Take that friend's mom to dinner. definitely gets a Mother's Day card.
I actually shipped her a Blu-ray copy of the film with a very extensive thank you note in it.
Nice. Absolutely. Well, and she made this happen, you know? I mean, she got the funds. I'm telling you, that is that's gold, you know?
In a very real way, I think that the film would not exist, at least in this form, without her. So, I'm very grateful.
Now, this was just the initial impetus, right? I mean, this film cost more than $35K to make, I have to imagine. Really?
Yeah, we shot it.
We shot it for
$35,000. Wow. And that included Alyssa's trailer and all that?
My trailer.
We didn't all stay in the first movie we made with Brendan. We all stayed in his parents' basement, like all of us. And I'll never forget the one day that the makeup artist was making a skeleton, and so she was blow drying plastic bags to like this PVC piping or something, basically just like poisoning the entire room with these fumes that are definitely toxic, and everyone was living down there. But no, this time we all lived in a house together, an Airbnb in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
There may or may not have been a stripper pole in the living room at one point. It was a weird, wonderful little time.
Well, your character, though, you know, you had to get in that headspace of that character. So, you know.
Sure.
I imagine there were clear high heels involved. No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding.
They're called pleasers, actually.
No.
Is the official.
Pleasers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I did not have any pleasers. If you notice, actually, Carol, even though she's labeled as a sex worker and has scenes mentioning it, there's no actual acts that depict any of that.
I see. Well, that's good. You know, that's a good thing. Sometimes, as Hitchcock taught us, it's better if the mood is implied as opposed to right there, you know. That works. Now, Brendan, you've got a pastor, and I don't want to give anything away because I want people to watch it. And ladies and gentlemen, this is out. People are watching. I mean, it's out. It's available. You can definitely see this. It's all over my Facebook, to be honest with you. My feed, not posts I've posted, but other people have posted. you know, talking about it. And just a buzz, as they say. So you have this. And you have limited budget, and you've got to transform a pastor into a velociraptor. Was that difficult to accomplish? Did you look at that and go, how are we going to do this?
You know, in some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. Because, like, you know, it was always intended to be sort of a salute to that very low-budget Z-grade horror. And, like, right. like even from inception, even if we had had $40 million, like, that was the point. You know, that's what I wanted to make. So, in some ways, the fact that we had that low of a budget kind of helped. It kind of, like, de-fictionalized some of the stuff. So I made the decision very early on, from a creative standpoint, that you've just got to embrace that. Like, you've got to wear right. that on your sleeve and be like, yeah, we had no money. And that's part of the joke. You can, like, fold it into your narrative, and it becomes part of the charm of the film. Almost like if you're watching a sci-fi movie that's really low budget and it's obviously a cardboard box spaceship. Like, that's part of the appeal of it. I like that aspect of it. So there were moments that I knew that it kind of had to sell, particularly through makeup. But we never even for a second discussed using, like, CGI for the dinosaur or anything. I just didn't want to. That's not the fun of it to me. So, right.
And Jen Suarez, our makeup artist, was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. She's legitimately crazy talented. And it was one of those things that sometimes I was like, Jen, this looks too good. Pull back.
Nice.
Look kind of gross. I think the key of it was just having fun with it and just sort of being like, yeah, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of time. Let's just chase the fun and see what we can do.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
I just remember in the scene when Ji Chang. How did I forget his character's name? When he was killed and Greg was holding his head above the dummy head, like this really serious special effect makeup like on the bottom of the dummy head, and it all kind of ripped off like almost immediately before filming, and so it didn't even look good, bad in the way that we wanted it to look, and we were just like, whatever,
right.
fuck it, like we don't have time, and so we had to do it anyway.
And in fact, something like that then becomes part of the charm. That it is sort of like, yep, this is what really happens on these low-budget movies, and time to embrace it.
Yeah.
So it's like that's the cut you use in the film, the take, I mean.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L-A-P-O-T-H-I-C-A-I-R-E-U-N-I-Q-U-E. .com, L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
I think charm is a very adequate word. I have friends. I'm not a horror movie person. I like a good horror movie, but I like fun movies as well. I'm one of those guys. Like I said, I'm not in the film business. I'm that friend of yours that is building the outdoor theater in their backyard and makes you watch the subtitle movie. You know what I mean? I'm one of those guys. But I'm really into film, but I have friends that are like just horror people, you know, just that's what they're into. And they sometimes I don't like watching film sometimes with them because, you know, some guy will get cut in half and they're like, well, that spleen didn't bleed as much as it really would have. And I'm like, how do you know that? You know, are you kidding me? But I do have some friends, and it's funny because every Thanksgiving, before I, you know, back in my wolfing around days, I'd always go to their house for Thanksgiving. And every year, Thanksgiving was just, that's what was going to be played. It's a terrible movie, but it's so much fun. Uh-huh. And it's just a tradition, you know. And I can see this film, this is a better film, much better film, I think, than Thanksgiving. But it's a fun film that you're going to watch with your friends and just crack up on, you know, it's awesome.
I'm hoping it becomes an Easter tradition for people to go watch the movie with their friends and family.
Easter needs that.
No,
you can only watch,
I mean, like
the Ten Commandments so many times, you know,
a time for celebration indeed. And, I mean, that was very much, I'm so happy you reacted that way, because that is exactly what I intended. It's like, I feel like a lot of filmmakers are very specific of how they want people to see their movie, right? And I'm like not really one of those guys. I don't really care if you're watching it on a cell phone or in a theater, but I do want you to watch it with people, because it's such a fun party movie. Like, it's a movie that sort of wants you to turn to your friends and be like, did that just happen? And I love seeing that. Like, when we do screenings and stuff, the reactions of the audience are the fun of it. And it's like, yeah, you can enjoy the movie alone, but I think that I encourage anybody that hasn't seen it yet or wants to see it again, like, get friends together and watch it in a group, because that is where I think it really shines. And that was really what I intended it to do. I wanted it to kind of bring people together so they can all experience this wackiness in a group setting.
Absolutely. And there's certain movies that has to be the case. I remember years ago, I went on a date with this gal, and we were talking, and I thought she was the weirdest person in the world because she would watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show by herself. I'm like, how? That's just creepy. That's not good.
Yeah, that's
a red
just
flag.
Incorrect.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, and exactly. That's what I, of course, the dream for something like this is for it to become something like a Rocky Horror.
Well,
and
I
hope we do. I hope that people react and love it as much as they do a film like that or The Room.
No, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Now, I have to ask somebody, it's funny because before I do an interview, I always get people, especially on Twitter and stuff, will direct message me and everything. And it's funny because they'll have questions for me to ask. Somebody actually wanted to know, have you experienced any blowback from the religious community? I don't think he cares. the philosopher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I don't know. I should answer for you.
No. I will say that... In an incredibly fringe and minor way, yes. Like,
really?
And I have to emphasize this. I'm talking like 9 to 10 weirdos. most religious people I know and people of faith that I know totally love this movie. And we, in fact, have a bit of a periphery audience with cool priests.
love that. Love cool priest audience.
Yeah, no, I love them. When we showed in Texas, there was a real pastor there that just loved the movie and, like, in fact, invited us to Texas barbecue so we could talk both the film and just hang out. And also, like, I am not a religious person, so I was just really interested in what he did and, like, what – like.
Right.
But I will say, like, the movie is not in any way intended to be, like, a screed against any sort of faith. That's not the point. It's just for fun.
Right.
I think that people who actually watch the movie get that. But of course, there's always, you know, faith is very important to a lot of people. And there are certain types of people that any sort of riffing on it will be perceived as sacrilegious. I think that by and large, the answer is no, not at all. But of course, there's always going to be those weirdos that are like just here to ruin everybody's good time. So I guess in a very minor way, yes. But I have to emphasize how minor it actually is.
Well, and I have to tell people too, if you're religious or you know, a person of faith, you know, hey, whatever gets you through the day, man, or the night, as John Lennon said, you know, that's cool. Work out. But this isn't about that, and it's not. It's not a dig on any religion either. I didn't get that, you know?
No, exactly. And it's genuinely not intended to be. Like, I am not a person of faith, but I have nothing against people that are. Like you do you. Just don't get in my grill about it, and we'll be totally fine. I'll give you the same courtesy. And, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Me and you are right on the same page. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and... You know, and I would say also, I would challenge anyone to watch the film. Watch the film. You know, don't take our word for it. Just watch it. You know,
it's on your Amazon.
Check it out.
And as a final note about that, there actually have been a couple of priests and pastors that reached out to me that were happy because I depicted priests as real people with real problems, and they're not stock characters. It's like, the fact that our main character is a priest and the fact that he is a priest isn't really ever – or the fact that he has faith isn't ever really the butt of the joke. It's like they were kind of happy about that because, like, in a lot of, you know, comedy horror movies, if there's a priest, they're going to be, like, a very one-note caricature. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, the priests in this movie are not. They're funny.
And they don't
eat
ninjas.
It's
usually.
Not that. Exactly.
No. Those evil ninjas. Ninja, I think.
I know.
That.
I know.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
You can't escape them. They'll follow
you. Well, this
you
is
home,
cool.
No,
you guys...
They say.
That's right, they do. Like the hitchhiking ghosts at Disney. No, Alyssa, you said that this was filmed, you guys filmed this in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I think we did maybe, I don't know, there was one montage. The first Doug and Carol montage was done in the East Village. And then the Doug and Carol's initial meeting with a hobo involved, that was also, I think, in the Lower East Side. But everything else, for the most part, we did in Pennsylvania. China was Pennsylvania, obviously. Someone quoted us and said we were New Jersey. And I was like, I love New Jersey, but we did not shoot in New Jersey. No, actually, Carol's bedroom was in Montclair, New Jersey.
That's right. I thought that was in New York, too. I couldn't remember where
I forgot about that,
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did shoot a little in New Jersey, but for the most part, main camp was around Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I'd say about 80% of the film was shot there.
Oh, that's cool.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
That's cool. Now, let me ask you this, because I don't imagine a lot of films are shot there. Was everybody excited and they're like, oh, the movie's being made. You know, what's the movie? And then you tell them, and what was the reaction?
Yeah,
I don't think anyone noticed us for the most part.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because we were a very small production. The whole crew was like maybe 10 to 15 people. So it's like, wow. That's just a group of kids hanging out. but I will say when we had to ask for locations, that was part of the decision to shoot there. Because, if you're trying to shoot in LA or New York, they're kind of hip to the game and they want location fees. Like if you want to shoot in a bar in LA, they're not like stoked you're there. They're like, okay, well, you're going to have to cover our costs for the night. So you're talking like a couple of $1,000 to even shoot. And you have to be out by like this time and you have to be here by that. Like it's a total hassle. But if you go a little more off the beaten path, especially if you're an indie film and you're an indie film with a budget like we had, people are excited, and they usually will let you use the locations for, you know, cheap to free, because they're just kind of stoked to have business and advertising. And of course you give them a special thanks in the film, you give them a copy of the film, and they're just excited. And it's like everybody wins, you know? So that was
the
decision to shoot there.
We live in a little beach town here just up from Fort Lauderdale called Deerfield Beach. And a couple years ago, and it wasn't even that great of a movie, but you know, they shot it here, at least a big part of it. They redid the Baywatch movie here, which is set in California, apparently Deerfield Beach was
cheap. They had
cheap,
a little
bit
of a larger budget than we did. Just a small bit more.
They did have Dwayne Johnson.
Well, I'm telling you, our entire little sleepy beach town put on their flip-flops and walked down to the beach. And it was funny because, I mean, it was like a big arts festival or something was happening. I mean, it was just to see, you know, ooh, there's a guy with a movie can. There's The Rock. There's, you know, people were excited. It was like a big deal. And,
yeah, for sure. My mom's friend is a big movie fiend, and she just texted me and my mom and a bunch of other people from my hometown, because apparently they're shooting an HBO series there this week, and everyone's freaking out about it. And so I totally get, like, the small town fervor around making movies, because it's, we don't realize, since we're doing it, whether like, for me, for example, when I'm not working on a film acting wise, I work in different aspects of production. And so, like, it's normal for us. It's our bread and butter, but so many people don't know how they're made. And it's so interesting to them, you know, there's magic there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the first time I went to LA, I thought I hit Burbank and I totally expected to see guys carrying set pieces around, you know, like I was at the back lot at MGM or something. And I roll into town and it's just like industrial park after it. Everything exciting was going on inside those buildings. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I was like, this is
yeah. Understandably so. Terrible. Burbank is quite an ugly place, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just visually,
you know, it's
nearly. Not exciting to see.
What was in my head? Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Hey, speaking of your hometown and growing up and everything, Alyssa, I was looking at my show notes before the show. Cool thing, we share a birthday. How about that? Pretty cool, huh?
Wait, what happened? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said one of the cool things, I was looking at my show notes, that we share a birthday. I don't know why that was listed in my show notes. Yeah.
October 19th.
You don't meet that many people October 19th.
Wow,
cool.
A Libra. Very exciting. I still don't know how to take my birthday off of IMDb. I keep trying to, because I don't want people to know how old I am, so I can still keep playing college student. But it's not working. So I need to work harder anyway.
Yeah.
Alyssa just made me feel like an ancient old man.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And I'm like, she's pretty young. Oh, my gosh. You can't play college students. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God, I'm old. I'm so old, I remember Velociraptors. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my goodness. Well, happy almost birthday to you.
Oh, and to you, my dear, and to you. Now, I have to ask, I know we're pushing Velocipaster real hard, and not just because that's what we're supposed to be doing. I generally like this film, everybody, and I want you to go out and watch it. Labor Day weekend is a fantastic weekend to get your crew, your squad, whatever you call it, together and, you know, have a few drinks, a couple cocktails, and check out the Velocipaster. It'll be the life of the party.
Hell yeah.
I have to ask, Brendan, is there, I know you Hollywood types sometimes can't talk about upcoming projects until T's are crossed and I's are dotted and all of that. Is there an upcoming project that you can mention that you're working on? And I ask purely from a selfish point of view, because I want to see more of your work. This was so good.
Oh, well, thank you so much, genuinely. Unfortunately, I can't. I am going to pull the Hollywood type card where it's like there's, you know, it all blew up so fast, and it's pretty much been our full-time job for the last couple of months, or mine at least, just trying to promote the film and get it out there. And so now
that mine has been nannying.
Out, yeah. what different couple of months we have had. but now that it's finally out, I have things I want to work on. Like, rest assured, I've got scripts. So, like, I'm excited and ready to, like, move forward with them. And I'm just going to kind of see what shakes out. Because things are starting to shake out now that more and more people are seeing the film and more people are reacting to it. And the general consensus seems to be, oh, it's really good. So I'm hoping that sometime in the next few weeks, I'll have something more concrete to announce. But right now, you never want to show your hand too early and then have egg on your face if it doesn't happen. Because there's always a chance it won't happen until it actually is happening.
Well, and this film's an example of that. You know, you did the crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And this just goes to show you, I want to point this out. I have some friends of mine that do, I have a friend of mine that does, she's done seven albums totally on Kickstarter. You know what I mean? But she told me, I was talking to her, she told me, she said, when you do a Kickstarter or any kind of crowdfunding, she goes, that's a second job. Get ready. It's going to be an additional 50 hours of work a week just doing that, you know, in addition to what else you do. But if your experience just goes to show, maybe that isn't the only venue in town. And if that doesn't work, well, there's other ways, you know, to skin a cat and turn a pastor into a dinosaur, you know. Don't give up.
Well, and crowdfunding requires a very specific set of skills that I sadly do not possess. I actually have an immense amount of respect for people that are successful at crowdfunding because it's almost like launching your own business. Where it's like you really do have to make that almost your full-time employment, and you have to be willing to just sort of get a little, I don't want to say cutthroat, that's not really what I mean, but you have to be willing to, like, really fully
commit
yourself.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. It gets uncomfortable,
hustle is
for
a better
sure.
word. Yes, yeah, hustle is a much better word. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, I've just, that is the aspect of film that I've never been as good at. And I'm hoping to improve. So who knows? Maybe the next one will be crowdfunded successfully. We'll see.
That's what they have producers for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go.
Too true.
You bet.
That's awesome. Now, how about you, Alyssa? Do you have projects in the works?
I have yes and no. Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a lot of things up in the air, possibly. And I am in a hot second of the new TV show that's going to be on Hulu called High Fidelity, based off of the movie with John Cusack in the 80s.
Nice.
That was cute. And, you know, just hustling, trying to see what's next. Kind of similar
that's
to Brendan.
Awesome.
Like, can't – that's got ideas, got things going, but I don't want to speak too soon.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Well,
I fully understand.
Because of the nature of Velocipastor and kind of the trajectory it's taken, it's one of those things where it's like, in some weird ways, the longer we wait, the more opportunities we'll have. So, because it's a cult film, it's going to just keep proliferating and doing its thing. And, like, you know, if we tried to launch a crowdfunding thing today, or even, like, reached out to agents or managers today, it's like that we won't have as much clout as we will in like 6 months, you know, where it's like in 6 months, that many more people will have interacted with it and talked about it, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's the rare case where biding your time might actually be beneficial.
That's the winning move. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, it's been so cool talking to you guys today. I mean, I feel like, you know, every year I still watch The Phantom of the Paradise. And if I would have had a chance to speak to Brian De Palma back when that was happening, I just would have been over the moon. I felt like I've done that, you know? This is
so
good and so much fun. Yeah, that, you know.
Thank you.
I know your career is just going to arc off of this, you know? It's very, very cool.
Well, I hope so. Fingers crossed, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you guys so much for taking time. I know I kept you a little longer than I was supposed to. I apologize about that. I hope it doesn't mess up the next interview. But
I really appreciate you guys taking time to be on the show and whatnot. It's really cool meeting you and talking to you about this fantastic film, The Velocipaster. I love it.
Same here.
Thank
you so much.
Fun.
Yeah, and you guys know this. I will say it anyway, in case nobody told you today. Keep doing what you're doing. You both are real, real good at it, you know?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good one. And that's going to wrap it up for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. We will be back tomorrow. We'll be speaking with director Owen Long from the new horror movie Seeds. So that'll be cool. Tomorrow afternoon, tune in for that. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. We're on about 200 now, and that's very cool. Thank you for that. Also, the big one, I should say, is Apple Podcasts. So if you are listening to the show on Apple Podcasts in the future, do me a solid. Hit that ratings and review. It doesn't cost anything. Keeps us up at the top of the page. And when I talk to advertisers, it makes my job so much easier. I really, really appreciate that. Have a great day, everybody. I'm going to get back to work. I've got some paintings to work on, and I'm doing that. Have a good one. And everybody, rent the Velocipaster this weekend. Definitely worth it. It's awesome. Rent or buy. How about that? Christmas is coming.
Hey.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, on today's episode, I slipped up. I forgot to mention, I was so excited talking with our guest today about the fantastic movie, The Velocipaster. I forgot to mention where you can follow this great movie on social media and where you can rent it on video on demand right now or purchase it. So I'm going to tell you this right now, and we're going to repeat this at the end of the podcast as well. So if you don't have a pencil or something, just continue to listen, and at the end, you know, at some point, I don't know, grab a pencil, a burnt piece of wood, you know, whatever you gotta, your girlfriend's lipstick, whatever you gotta do, man, that you can write this down and know exactly where to watch this. Now, again, I love this film, and we're gonna talk to the writer director and the principal actress in this movie, Brendan Steer and Alyssa Kempinski, today. And where you can get this movie is it's out all over on video on demand, iTunes, Comcast, Spectrum, Dish, Vudu, Amazon, Fandango, Sling. It's also, you can see it. I was just looking here. It's like I said, it's on Amazon Prime, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu. All these, you can watch it, no worries, and rent it there. Very, very cool. Now, you can also follow the Velocipaster. We have a link up on our show page to their Facebook page. It's very simple to get there. www.facebook.com/TheVelocipaster. TheVelocipaster. And they're also over on Twitter, which is the Velocipaster. You know, put that into the search at Twitter or the at symbol and one word, the Velocipaster, and it'll get you right there to the page. Very, very cool. Okay, enjoy the episode today. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on this one. It's a fun movie, man. I really like this, and Brendan and Alyssa were just awesome. So here it is. Enjoy. And again, this will repeat at the close of the podcast today. So stay tuned. Enjoy.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.